today I kind of doing something a little different with you that I and it's gonna we're gonna do some different things this year. And may I say to you, Happy New Year. Do you have any New Year's resolutions? Like, Happy New Year. Did you guys stay up till midnight last night? Are you wondering if I've lost my mind? Perhaps I have. I know that it is April 7th, and New Year's has passed along with its resolutions and everything else that we thought we were going to do come January, but you know, February rolled around and who cares. But when we think about Happy New Year right now, that we've been talking last month that March was the last year of our fiscal year, right? When we wrap up our books and we do all our denominational reporting and do all that kinds of thing. But it's also a wonderful time that we take kind of an assessment of how we're doing collectively as a church. How are we doing as a local expression within our denomination, the Church of the Nazarene, right? Which is a global denomination of about 2.7 million folks in 164, I think 164 world areas. And so we're having this global expression, and then we're that little piece in the corner over here in Yucaipa, right? And so we're a part of that. And there's what we call the global church, which is that movement. And then there's the regional and district stuff, like the district. We're a Southern California district, so there's like 65 churches, San Bernardino County, Riverside County, off into down to the border through San Diego, right? So there's all these churches that are collected there, and we do some things together, and we have a district, we have a district superintendent and who's my boss, and you've been praying, and my bracelet is not on today, but you've been praying because we're going to elect a new district superintendent come June 1st. And so we're kind of in that season where we're reflecting, right? And so as we thought about that and we thought about our church, I kind of was really impressed several months ago personally by a passage of scripture that the Lord really kind of put on my mind when I started asking the question, well, Lord, why am I here, right? Like, and now when I ask that question, don't get squirrely that it's like, why am I here because I'm going to leave? No. Like, I know why I came here in 2014, right? So October will be 10 years. Right? So, you know, when you start to reach that 10-year mark at a place, and this is new for me. The first two churches I pastored, I was at one for seven, and then I spent 4 years helping various churches in transition, and then I came here in 2014. So, since 1996, I've been doing this, and, you know, here for nearly 10 years, and I think, well, Lord, what in the world? Like, why am I here? You know, I know when I came here, it was like an easy answer. I came here and the church was on the verge of closing, and so the goal was to come and see if there was a reason to keep going, right? And so, you know, so that's good. Well, we've kept going, and we've been doing ministry here for 10 years, and there's been a lot of ministry success and those kind of things, and people's lives getting better and people growing and maturing, and many people over our church. If we had everybody that came to this church for the last 10 years, we would probably have to be running two services. But as transient as people are, right, moving here, moving there, doing that, some people get tired of me and move on. And so, you know, those kinds of things. But, so what have we been doing? And Lord, why am I here today? And why am I remaining here? Because I am remaining here. Don't get squirrely like that. I know. Maybe some of you are like, darn it, he's staying. But yes. And you don't get a chance to get rid of me until 2026, okay? That's the next review when the district superintendent comes in and asks the board the question, you want to keep your pastor? If the board says yes, he walks away and goes yes. If the board says no, Houston, we have a problem, okay? So, but you are stuck with me at least for another 2 years, all right? But that question, and we're going to work on that passage in a little bit, but that's why we're doing what we're doing. And you know, whenever I get an answer from God about something, I then have to go backwards in order to go forwards, okay? So I'm going to do that with you today. My question and what I'm going to talk to you about and why we're focusing on what we're going to focus on for this next year, or what we're calling our missional goal for this next year and what we're going to do, is in part of the answer when the Lord put this scripture on my heart, which we'll look at in a few moments. I then started to ask the Lord, if that's why I'm here, what are we going to do about it? Like, I have clarity on why I'm here. I know exactly why I'm here now. Okay? And so I'm like, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? And so the board and I, we've been working and answering that question. How are we going to do, and how are we going to fulfill the reasons why we're here? And so the main theme of my message today with you, and the main theme of this new series, A Pathway of Partnerships, which we're going to be talking about all month, A Pathway of Partnerships. And really, I want you to think about this morning. God has us here. Me, you, the leaders, the directors, Pastor Ryan, me. Okay, we're all here. God has us here, has you right here today to build each other up in maturity. That's why we're here. We are here to build one another up in maturity. That's why we're praying together. That's why we're worshiping together. That's why we're studying the Word together. We have all come into this space this morning and relating to one another so that we can build each other up in maturity. Now, you might have other reasons why you're here. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe something happened at work today. Maybe you're sick today. Maybe you've got a personal struggle. Maybe there's a relational aspect of your life right now that needs some help. You have all kinds of reasons, right, of why you're here. And you answer that connection question probably a lot of different ways. And all of those things that are at the forefront of your mind, those things will be largely dealt with by your own maturity, right? Let's face it today, we all need some maturity. We all can use some growing up. We all can use some moving forward, right? We all can do that. I know I can. I know I have some areas in my life where I can grow and mature. And I pray that you are recognized that today, that you're not sitting here going, hey, I figured it all out. I'm here to celebrate the fact that I've arrived. I hope that that's not you coming to church. So, just to, again, go backwards, right? Go backwards. We started talking in 2020. February of 2020, the church board and I had a one-day retreat where we spent time together asking five questions. And we're not going to look at all five of them today. We're just going to kind of look at one. We looked at why the church exists. And we spent a few months looking through the scriptures, why does the church exist as a whole, right? Not just us, but why the church as a whole. We also looked at not only why, but what the church is supposed to be. Like, what is the church? We looked at that. We also looked at where the church was. Like, where are we as a church? Where, you know, we're in Yucaipa, we're in California. At that time, it was like we're in year 2020, so we kind of looked at some of that. And then we looked at what? Like, what are we supposed to be doing, right? What are we supposed to be doing here? And then how, right? And then how? So all five of those questions are called the top five organizational questions. I don't care what organization you're a part of, they're all asking this question, all of them. No matter where you work, no matter where you associate, if it's an organization of whatever flavor or stripe or purpose, five questions always exist. And so we had to ask those questions as a church. And when we looked at that first one, which we're going to settle in on today, our why, I want you to know what your church board came up with in February of 2020. Why I emphasize that is what we've been trying to live this out ever since, but there was a little hiccup, right? Because in March of 2020, stuff happened, right? And 2020 was a crazy year. And then everything was turned on its ear. Do you know why our church was able to survive and to do pretty well through the pandemic? Because we knew why we existed. It was in perfect timing that God had told us why we exist. And look at this list. And we're not going to look at all the passages of Scripture today. That's your homework. Okay, but I'm going to make reference to some scriptures today that you can look up and read on your own. But here's what we discovered about why God created the church in the first place. So there's five reasons that God created the church, starting with this one. God is calling people to live on the foundation of Jesus' identity. Whoa. Did any of you answer that question today that way? Why are you here? Well, because God is calling people to live on the foundation of Jesus' identity. That's why I come to church today. Anybody? Any takers? No, probably not, right? Probably not. But that's why the church, that's the foundation of the church, is the identity of Jesus. Now, how that unhealthily plays out sometimes is the church is based upon the personality of the pastor. Isn't that crazy? Shouldn't be, but sometimes it is. So there's reason number two. God has chosen to make his wisdom known through the church. Oh, boy. What'd you go and do that for, God? Like, why didn't you just do that all on your own? Like, God, whoa. Wait, no, but he did. If you read that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, you'll come to understand that God said, you know what? I am going to display my wisdom to the world through the church. Oh boy. That's a tall order. That causes me stress. That gives me what my daughter calls the Saturday night twisties. You know what the Saturday night twisties are? She says, because she's in ministry, she's full-time ministry in Orange County, she says the Saturday night twisties are when she's trying to go to sleep, but she's thinking about all the different volunteers for Saturday, Sunday morning. She's thinking about the lessons and the children and the families, and she's thinking about, always feeling like she forgot something. Yesterday, I got the twisties early. It was about 5 o'clock in the evening, and I was watching a baseball game and doing some grading for a class that I'm teaching, and I was already going, it's Sunday and this and the sermon and this thing and that thing, and I text my daughter, why do I have the Saturday twisties at 5 o'clock? Those should only come when I try to go to bed. So this gives me the Saturday twisties because I'm like, God, your wisdom is like so far beyond me and us. But I can't argue, that's what the scriptures say, that God has chosen to make his wisdom known through the church, through me and you. I'm glad he didn't say just the pastors. It would be worse than twisties. It would be like all night insomnia. Reason number 3. God chose a people for his own possession that they may proclaim his excellencies. So not only his wisdom, but why God is excellent. Did you know that's our job? That's why we're here. We are here so that we can mature and become better at proclaiming what is excellent about God. And notice, it's because you are his own possession. He says, you're mine. I'm calling you in, and I'm going to create this body called the church, the Greek word ekklesia, the called out ones, called out from the world, called out from living for themselves, called out to being stuck in slavery to sin. I'm calling you out of that and into my possession. You're my children, God says. And as my children, as my possession, I am now going to grow you up and mature you, and your life will start to proclaim how excellent God is. People should look at the church and go, wow, God is excellent. Wow, God is amazing. Look at this church and look at these people and look at this amazing wisdom and look at this amazing growth and maturity. I want to know what is excellent about God. I'm going to get involved in a church. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. We also have another reason. I think we're on reason number 4. This one's big. This one boggles my mind. I can't quite get my mind wrapped around this, though I've been studying it for years. God is unifying all things in Jesus. Unifying all things in Jesus. This very purpose is one of the reasons why we have this partnership idea. Well, you saw that Easter weekend, I don't even like that word. Pastor Ryan and I were having a time with that. By the way, next year we're not going to use that word Easter around here because that's just screwy. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. It's Holy Week and it's the resurrection celebration. By the way, Easter is the Greek god of fertility, Ishtar. Nothing to do with Jesus. And it dawned on me that for years I was a pretty stickler about that. But I was sitting back there at the table, Pastor Ryan was giving the announcements, and I was like, why did I put Easter up there? What did I do that for? I don't know, I got sucked into the culture and said it. But anyway, that's another story. So next year, Easter is a curse word on this campus. That's overboard, but you know what I mean. Okay, but we've been forming these partnerships, right? And it was amazing to be at one facility for Maundy Thursday, our facility for Good Friday, another celebration at a church in Beaumont, Freedom Church, on Sunday morning for Easter sunrise service, and then back here for breakfast in our service. It was an amazing time of unity. Some of you have been coming and saying, boy, those other churches are a bit more expressive than we Nazarenes. I said, I know. Man, they were whistling in their service. One of the guys, who's a pastor, he's right next to Ryan. He looks at Ryan and goes, I have to run up the aisle. And he takes off running up the aisle and comes back. Tells Pastor Ryan, I got to go again. He went again. And all the Nazarenes are going, oh, Lord. It was beautiful. Us in our little Nazareneness. And them in their explosive exuberance. Beautiful scene. Beautiful scene. But a reason, one of the reasons why we're going to be doing the way we do for the next few, this next year, is this partnership idea. We're going to do very little by ourselves for this next year. We're going to do more and more with other congregations, starting with that worship night on the 28th, when we'll have congregations from this area just coming together here for one purpose, worship the Lord together. And our time of prayer, another pastor picked up on our time of prayer that we do, and I'm going to be offering that time of prayer to the community. Because that's very Nazarene, very quiet. We'll have some other people running around and all of their wonderful nature, and we'll love them all. It'll be awesome. God is unifying all things in Jesus. And then number five, this last reason, God wants his people equipped and mature. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. For those of you that have been here as long as I have or longer, this is not new news to you. We've been using Ephesians 4 ever since I walked in the door. As soon as I got here, we said, how are we going to figure this out? How are we going to see if this church is really going to stay alive and move forward and reestablish itself in the community? It's going to be through Ephesians 4. And the main crux of Ephesians 4, you'll notice, is that my job is to help you minister to one another. That's my job. I teach you. I teach you, you minister to one another. If the pastor runs around ministering to everybody and doing everything, you're not going to have a church. We're going to waste our time. So I told everybody when I got here, if you're willing to step in and to learn and to minister to one another and make decisions and do things and take ownership, then you'll have a church, and I'll help you do that. If you're just going to show up on Sunday morning, plop yourself right down in the pews and expect me to do everything, we won't have a church. Because that's not how God set it up. I can teach you how to do it, but you got to go do it. You have to execute the plan. So that's Ephesians 4. But he wants you equipped and mature. So he's called me here to equip you and help you grow up. That's why I'm here. That's why I show up week after week. Equip you, help you mature. I'm not here to do everything for you. There's a leadership model called servant leadership. I don't buy into that. Servant leadership leads to lazy people and burnt out leaders. Transformational leadership is what I subscribe to among the bazillion leadership theories out there in the world. Transformational leadership means this, that you show up, set your personal needs to the side, and use your gifts and abilities for the benefit of others. And together we see transformation. That's how organizations are transformed. Stumbling over my words this morning. Doing my job to make someone hate me here today. I've agreed. Don't look around the room, but I have a deal today. But my sermon is meant to make someone hate me and not want to come back. That's a joke, and they know it right now, but don't look around the room. Y'all want to know who it means. Y'all want to know who it is. Don't look around. That person knows who they are, and now they really hate me, never coming back. So knowing now a little bit more about why we're here and why God has established the what we sometimes call the capital C church, right? Why a pastor? Remember I told you that I've been asking that question, like why am I here? Why am I here? I want to leave. Why am I here? This stinks. You know, we ask that question, why am I here, like kind of whining sometimes. That's not what I'm doing. At least I hope not. But Lord, how would you have me continue to move forward as the pastor of this church? So why the pastor? Why am I here, right? Why is Pastor Ryan here? See, God has sent me here to present you to himself, mature in Christ. This passage has me 24/7 twisties. Take a look at it, please. It'll be on the screen. It's heavy, weighing heavy on me even as I speak to you today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, Paul writing to the church in Colossae says this, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me." Now, ladies and gentlemen, look, what the responsibility on me today is to do this, is to take you and go, hey, God, I'm presenting this group to you, mature in Jesus. I know you. And you know me. See, that's why when you come to me and say, Pastor, I need some advice, I know that God is saying, they're in trouble. Are you going to help them and give them pastoral care? Are you going to help them grow up and bring them back to me mature? Oh boy. See, when you sit with me over coffee or in my office or you listen to me speak, God is saying, you're going to grow them up? You're just going to let them get away with laziness? Are you going to let them get away with sin? Are you going to let them, or are you going to put a low standard for them or a high standard? What are you going to do? And when we leave here today and you all go home and I go home, this passage is on my heart. You see, that's my job. And I'm glad Paul says in verse 29, for this I toil and struggle. For this I toil and struggle. Last week, I felt like, just to be honest with you, I felt like I laid an egg with that sermon last week. I don't know. And I had a conversation, and I've explained this to some of you. When words are coming out of my mouth, I'm having a conversation with me and God in the back of my head. And last week, it was like a mess. And what was coming out of my mouth, I was like, Lord, I'm like, come on now. I'm stuck here with this, and they look confused, and it wasn't good. If the Lord used it in your life, praise the Lord. But I walked away from that going, struggling with this text. I don't know if that would have moved them any further than what they were when they came in the room. That was between me and Jesus. But I want you to know that that's my job. And, you know, our sanctuary looks better this year, doesn't it? You know, with the lights and the screen and it's comfortable in here. Do you know that's not my job? My job isn't to make sure things are comfortable for you. It's nice. It helps, right? It helps. But my job is to help you grow up. That's my job. My job isn't to make sure that you have plenty of activities to do. No. My job isn't to get more people in here. My job isn't to create a bunch of frilly ideas to make the community excited and come to the retreat church because it's just so fun. Not my job. Not my job. My job is to be here, and whoever God brings my way is to help you grow up. So there'll be times when I say things to you that you don't want to hear. My job is to make you grow up. There'll be some times that I tell you things that you like. Amen. We can all walk away happy. But other times, maybe not so much. And how I lead the church. Sometimes you're going to be happy. Some of you are going to think, Pastor, that's a great decision. Other times you're going to say, man, that's stupid. My job is to help you grow up. Now the third thing, why the member? So that's why I'm here. I got to help you grow up. And God expects me to present you back to Him, mature in Jesus, my job. So why are you here as a member of this church? See, God has you here to be equipped for building each other up, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, read this way. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, held together by every joint and with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So I come to you, I help you, I teach you, I am responsible for you growing and maturing, but then what do? You cooperate with the effort and you help each other grow and you help each other mature. That's the purpose of a church. The purpose of the church is to receive from the pastor and then help each other grow up. You should be talking with each other this week about this message. Hey, this helped me this way. How did it help you? I wasn't with him on this. I kind of maybe disagreed with him over here. Did I understand him correctly? Can we raise each other up? Now, what I want you to do today, ladies and gentlemen, is a personal challenge to you. It's a personal challenge to me. I've been challenged by this passage in Colossians, that is my sole purpose for being here. This is why I'm a pastor, to help you grow up, help you mature, present you mature to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you today, whatever you thought of when you came in and you answered that question, why am I here? That you would align your reasons with God's reasons. If you look at those five reasons, you say, God created the church for this, and I'm here for this. Are those the same? I'm going to ask you to align that. Why are you here at this church and not another one? There's a lot of amazing churches, a lot of amazing congregations all over this area. Why are you here? Could it be that God wants you, and this, please don't take this in any prideful way with me, perhaps it's because under the leadership of myself and Pastor Ryan and the church board, perhaps God wants you here so that you could grow up. And perhaps God has you here so that you could help others grow up. Now I know you might say, well, I'm here because I like the preaching, or I'm here because I like the music, or I'm here because I'm like. 90% of cheap Christians today that are in any church across America are there because they like, and then fill in the blank. I guarantee you. So pastors, what we do, we get together in our little groups of pastors and our little things. We go, what do we got to do to get more people in the room? What do we got to do to get more people here? Give them what they want. Well, what do they want? What do the people want? They want this. Give them that. Meanwhile, God's going, excuse me, I'm over here. Do you have any indication or any clue of why I have you being a pastor and why they have them here? It's not about giving them what they want. It's about growing them up. Sometimes it includes giving them what they want. Sometimes. You know that because you raise children. Sometimes you give them what they want. Sometimes what they want is not good for them and you say no. Sometimes you know that you'll give them that when they're older, when they can handle it. You know this because you do it all the time. So align your reasons with God's. And the corporate vision, if we do this, if you do that, your job, and I do mine, what will become of this place? The retreat church will exemplify pastors and congregation working together, fulfilling God's why for the church. God's why for the church. Now, how are we going to do that? You were given something when you came in, which we wanted to put it in your hands. And I know, like, it's weird because I for 17 years, I was a classroom teacher, and I always passed stuff out. So excuse me if this feels like a teacher, and I'm like, here's your handout for today. And I know that the age in which we live in, you want everything on your phone. I know. There's either one on our Instagram page that you can grab, or it's going to be there shortly. So there will be one of these that all of us that just love our phone, and we want everything on our phone, there will be one of these for your phone. But for those of you that like to have something other than your phone, there's this. And when we get our new website created, which that's in process, this will be on our website as well. But what you'll notice is this retreat church pathway. And I'm just going to give you the basics real quick as we finish up. You'll notice that this is how we're going to move forward. This is how we're going to grow up. And I'll share with you the story of how this started next week. But I want you to see. And I'm going to read you this initial letter. Sorry, I do this as a teacher, not as a preacher. The retreat church seeks to live out its mission of making Christ-like disciples in the nations by assisting people at all stages of their spiritual journey and church involvement, beginning with the greater community of Ukaipa and worldwide to those seeking ordination and pastoral ministry in the Church of the Nazarene. We want to assist and resource each individual. Assist and resource. I want to help you and I want to give you resources. Beginning with the greater community of Ukaipa and worldwide, okay? I already said that. We aim to help each person develop the necessary competencies to thrive in their desired participation level. To do so, we have created the discipleship pathway. The pathway describes each level of involvement along with suggested resources. Each quarter of our church year, we will highlight various resources available for each stage of involvement. The discipleship pathway further helps us fulfill our mission by creating the necessary competencies expected of those choosing to become members of the retreat church and serve as volunteers and ministry directors. A current pastor will assist those receiving a divine call into pastoral ministry according to the bylaws of the Church of the Nazarene Manual. Though this aids in ministry commitment, each individual is assured of love, belonging, and pastoral care regardless of where they find themselves on their faith journey. This is not a hierarchy of value or privilege, but a means to provide appropriate care and development for all those choosing to be a part of the retreat church at any level. This pathway has been developed with the motivation of the Great Commission as defined by Jesus in Matthew 28:19-20. So that's what this is. And that first level of involvement, just the greater community. Anybody that happens to show up for any old reason, if they're renting our facility to play volleyball, if they show up to play pickleball, if they're part of the school, if they just come out here to sit on the old prayer chair. Whatever it is, the greater community, you'll notice that that's them. You can read that. We'll talk more about it next week. There's people that choose to attend. They attend the church. They come here for a minute and they might leave, or they come in and out, or they might go to a different church and they pop in here once in a while because maybe you're their friend or something like that. They just choose to attend once in a while. What do we want you to know? What are we offering you to help you out to be a good attender of this church? Well, then there's members. We're like, well, I want to help. I want to serve. I don't just want to come here and attend. I don't want to just come here and receive, but I want to come here and help, and I want to serve, and I want to find belonging and purpose, and I want to be a member of the church. Well, then that's what that means. That's what that means. And there's some resources there to help you do that. But that's what we expect. See, the expectation goes up when you get to the membership thing, right? The greater community, we expect very little. Just be polite, right? Don't trash the place. Just be cool. If you're attending, you're a tender. There's no expectation. There's no requirement. You could be here for as long as you want, however you want. You can be here. But if you want to be a member, now that's a different thing. That's a commitment on your part. That's you saying, I want to be a part of the ministry of this church, and there's these requirements. And we're not going to back down off these requirements. And if you want to be a member of this church, then you'll grow into these requirements. And if not, you just won't. It's up to you. But you'll still get the same love and care and pastoral attention and belonging. You'll get everything and throw that on the floor. But we just want to know who's really here to serve and get behind the mission of the church and who's not. And typical church, it's the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the people do 80% of the work and everybody else just comes and enjoys. Typical church in America, ours probably included, there's a small group of people that support financially and serve, and everybody else comes and takes from them and then goes home. I'm being real with you, helping you grow up, right? Churches are like that, okay? And so there's some people that everything's free for you. You just come and you receive. Okay, the only reason that exists is because there's people here that are paying for it. Okay, the lights are on because someone's paying for it. Grass is green, someone's paying for it. I'm here full-time as your pastor because someone's paying for it. Okay, but if you don't support financially, then you're coming here and receiving for nothing. If you're comfortable with that, then you're comfortable with that. That's called an attender. Praise the Lord. You can be an attender. And so there's that. There's also volunteers. You want to volunteer? Well, here's the standard, right? And some people from the community that are never attending church and never, they can come and they can help. We had some people here helping us fix our roof a little bit ago. They weren't members of this church. They never attended the service at all, but they were here volunteering, helping fix our roof. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty cool, right? So there's different things. If you're going to be a director or a teacher, you have to be a member. That's all. But if you can volunteer to do anything else, right? So we have to set those standards for the well-being of our people. And then if you want to be a leader and a director, serve on the church board, well, then there's another standard for you. Okay, so you get to choose. And then if you want to become a pastor, that's a whole other story. And the denomination takes over after that, and they have a whole process of ordination and licensing and things like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to help you grow. I'm here to present you back to Jesus as mature in Him. That's my job. And collectively, we want to do that. And so we're raising the standard this year.